You will have noticed, if you've taken time to read any of the publications, that our motto text is found in the words of verse number 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the verse 8 is the word, I believe, the message that God would have for us as a congregation in 2019. When the Lord confirmed his word to me, I couldn't wait to get at this verse, to preach it, to study it. It's been through several drafts already, and I just hope that what we have to say today will be of encouragement and challenge to our hearts, thrill my soul. The Lord always gives you the right word at the right time, and I believe this was the right word from God for us at this particular time. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer, and let us seek his face this morning as we come to his word. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the living word of the living God. And we pray, Lord, this morning that as we come to the inerrant scriptures of truth, Lord, that you'll make this word live in our hearts. O God, we pray that you'll lift us away from the worldly. Lord, lead us to that spiritual, heavenly high plane with thee today. O God, we pray that the word of God might dwell in us richly today. And Lord, that thy word will be as that flame of fire to our souls. O God, we pray you'll come and help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the scriptures of truth. Lord, help us to hear, to understand, to take in, and to do the word of God. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Repetition and application really are the two themes that are running throughout the book of Deuteronomy. This book, which by its name means the second law, is a repetition of the law already given to Moses at Mount Sinai. And throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses takes that law that is contained in the previous books, and then he applies that law to the people. He repeats that law, he examines that law, and then he seeks to apply it and how the people should order their lives. And that pretty much is the theme for the vast majority of this book of Deuteronomy. Right up until chapter 26, it is repetition and it is application. Then from the end of chapter 26 onward, Moses begins to address the people in what is known as his farewell address. For Moses, he will not take the children of Israel now any further. It will be for the task of Joshua to lead the people into the land of promise and into the land of blessing. And chapter 28 forms part of Moses' farewell message. And it is this chapter, and particularly the words of verse number 8, that the Lord has given to me for us as a congregation for our motto text in 2019. As we start out this year, we come to this first Lord's Day of 2019 with no knowledge of what lies before us, no understanding of the twists or the turns of 2019, and thank God for that. However, we do at the commencement of this year stand with a promise from God in the form of our motto text, the Lord. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. It is a promise, I believe, for the Lord to bless his work in 2019. It is a challenge for us to be involved in the work in 2019. And it is a motivation for us to stay at the work in 2019. Because the Lord will bless, but more than that, as we'll go on to see, the Lord will command the blessing. As a congregation, we need the blessing of God upon us in all that we seek to do for Him in this year. 2018, with all of its different events and happenings, now is past. But we look forward with anticipation and with expectation of what God is going to do in every part of the work of God, in every meeting when we gather together for public worship, in every part of our lives, in our homes, in our families. We need the blessing of God. And what a promise. What a very specific and particular promise I believe the Lord has given to us, for us as a congregation here in Sandown. And I want us all to do something today. I want us all as a people and all as a congregation to lay hold by faith on this promise. And I want us to claim that promise. I want us to prove this promise, and I want us to plead this promise in the year that lies ahead. It's a promise of blessing. It's a promise of God being pleased to use us and to give to us out of His storehouses and to favor us with His presence and His power. As we come to the words of verse number 8 today, there are some matters that we want to leave with you. Matters that we find in verse 8, but matters as well that we find in the verses that precede and the verses that proceed this text for today. First of all, I want you to see the precondition. The precondition to this blessing. Chapter 28, certainly the first 14 verses of this chapter, is a chapter of blessing. It's all of what the Lord is going to do and what the Lord will do. But I want you to understand as well that chapter 28 is also a chapter full of cursing. Of what the Lord will do and why the Lord will do it. Let me show you what I mean. In verse number 1, the Lord says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." We have termed this the precondition or the prerequisite for blessing. You see, this was a blessing on the basis of obedience. The precondition for this promised blessing given in verse number 8 is based on the people heeding and obeying the commands of God. This was not just a blanket promise. And I want us to grasp that right at the very commencement. The Lord was not going to bless the people's failures or the people's sins. The Lord was not going to bless them if they departed or they denied the law of God. But the Lord would bless them if they heeded, if they obeyed every part of the law of God. And so important is this precondition that it is repeated 5 different times in verses 1 through to 14. It's in verse 1, "If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." In verse number 2, again at the end, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." In verse number 9, The second half, that thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. In verse 13, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And in verse 14, it is most certainly applied. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left. You see, in many ways, this promise of blessing was within the reach and the grasp of the people themselves. Whether they were going to experience this blessing depended upon whether they were going to hearken and heed to the voice of God. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken, heed, obey, and do the word of God. What Moses is speaking about here is not merely hearing the word of God. As we have said, the vast majority of this chapter was a repeating of the law. But he did that to show how that there was a constraint placed upon the people, that they were not the free agents to live as they please. But there had to be an abiding by the law and the standards of God. This was not a new revelation. This was not an additional revelation. This was not a new set of laws. This was a repetition of what the Lord had already given. But he pleads with the people, don't only hear the law, but heed the law. Listen to what God says, but actually put that into practice in your life. And I think that's very telling today in evangelical circles, because there is this notion that you can live for God and yet live as you please. And that there are no constraints placed upon you. That you can disregard the law of God. You can disregard the word of God. That you can deny the word of God and still call yourself a Christian and still expect the blessing of God. The Lord says, this shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken. Obedience to the law of God, obedience to the word of God, was the condition for the people to experience the blessing of God. Turn over with me, if you will, please. I want to show this truth being borne out. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the first king of Israel, Saul, that man who was head and shoulders above everyone else. Saul was the people's choice. Saul was the people's champion. And in chapter 15, he is commanded to utterly destroy all the Amalekites. To destroy all the Amalekites. That was the word of God. Yet Saul thought he knew better than God. And what Saul did was, in verse number 8, we see that he took Agag, the king, alive, and destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And then verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. And then Samuel comes to him and challenges him. Verse number 12, when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and then on down, verse 13, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He hadn't. And he was about to be found out. Because look in verse 14. Samuel says, "Well, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? Did God tell you not to destroy all the people, all their livestock? And yet you think you know better than God?" Oh, but he says, "I'm going to keep those, the best of those, to sacrifice unto God." Look what what Samuel says through to Saul in verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." But look what he says, verse 23. Mark these words well. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Disobedience to the word of God always brings consequences. How could God bless disobedience? How could God bless when this man Saul thought that he knew better than God? You see, it is God's delight to bless. It is God's desire to bless spiritually and materially. And the Lord wants to bless. And he holds out that hand of blessing to us. But there must be obedience to his word. And there must be an ordering of our lives after God. I wonder in 2018, has the Lord challenged you about something that was not right in your life? Has the Lord spoken to you about things that you're involved in and things that you're doing and you know it's not right? It's not in accordance with the Word of God. It's not according to the standards of the law of God. Perhaps an attitude, an action. Perhaps a slipping of your life prayerfully and spiritually. And you failed. Oh, you failed to take the Word of God day after day as you once did. You fail to supplicate the throne of grace day after day as once you did. Your faithfulness and your attendance at the house of God is not what it once was. And God has challenged you and God has spoken to you. Yet you didn't heed. His challenge was to put things right and yet you refused. Verse number 9. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, talks about walking in the ways of God, keeping the commands of God. Did you walk in the ways of God last year? Folks, if we are going to know this promised blessing in 2019, then we must walk in his ways and do according to his law. We must order our lives according to his word. How is your walk with God today? Doesn't matter how it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Doesn't matter you were bright for the Lord and you would have done anything for the Lord and you never would have missed. But how is it today? How is it now? I'm asking you personally. I'm not asking about the person beside you because we can all point the finger to everybody else and say, "Well, look at that person." I personally have to give an account for my life. You personally have to give an account for your life. How is your walk with God today? I hear people say, "It grieves me." I hear people say that because of so-and-so, I'm not walking with God the way I should. Because of what they did to me, Listen, how is your walk with God today? Forget about how everybody else walks with God. That's none of your business. How do you walk with God? Can you honestly, genuinely say today that your walk with God is as good as it's ever been? I thank God today for those who throughout 2018 have shown signs of growth and grace. Thank God for that. But how is it with you today? Do you live your life to please Him? Do you desire to meet together with God's people week after week? Or have you forsaken the house of God? Places are missing. Seats are empty. Attendance at the place of prayer is very irregular now. And only when it suits. How is God going to bless that? The gospel service on a Sunday evening is no longer attended because it doesn't interest you. It doesn't appeal to you. How the gospel doesn't appeal to a child of God is beyond my belief. Oh, you have other plans. You need to get ready for Monday morning. Folks, we need to get real. We need to get serious before God. We look back over the years in the history of this little denomination, and what are we? Just a small handful of people. When I listen to the accounts of what God did for us in the past, it was when the people gathered together and nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. And they loved coming to the house of God. They loved to hear the preaching of the gospel. They loved the place of prayer. And yet we wonder why today is God not blessing us. Don't expect God to bless your nominal Christian life. Parents, do you see the awesome responsibility that lies upon you? To train and to teach your children in the ways of God. Now, not one of us can account for how our children go on in their life in adulthood. But as parents today, there is an awesome responsibility placed upon us to teach our children in the ways of God. To train them up for a love for God. To give them a love for God's house. To give them a love for God's people. And listen, if they don't see us coming to church, if they don't see us worshiping God, how do they understand? What an example that's setting. As fathers, as mothers, are we instilling within our children a godly attitude and influence? Or are we more worried about them going on socially in the things of this world? Folks, we need to get real today. God is going to bless us, then there must be obedience to Him. You see, what goes on the micro scale for us in the home and in the church goes as well on the macro scale in the nation. I listen to politicians wondering why our city, why our nation is wrecked and ruined by drugs, drink, and debauchery of all sorts. But maybe if politicians started to order their policies according to the Word of God, our nation would be in a different state. We've seen political parties this past year, locally and nationally, in absolute chaos and crisis, and they wonder why. Because they have set aside the law of God in favor of the opinion of man. And it's almost now that politicians are ashamed to be called a Christian or to take their stand for the Word of God. And they wonder why our nation, and listen, our nation in 2019 is in a crisis. As a province this year, we face immense pressures, I believe that. The abortion lobby will get ever stronger this year. They've been emboldened by what happened down south. But we must stand for the right of the unborn child like never before. That child in the mother's womb is as much a person inside the womb as it will be outside the womb in the will of God. And we must stand for the biblical, scriptural basis of marriage. One man, one woman, no matter what the cost may be. We must defend the authority and the authenticity of the Word of God, should no one else stand with us. God will never bless disobedience, personally, politically, nationally, or ecclesiastically. God will never bless that. As Joshua started out in his ministry, Moses is now dead. And the Lord comes to him in Joshua chapter 1 and the verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." He said, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according written therein." And listen to what he says. For then, when you have obeyed the law and the word of God, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The pathway to blessing is the pathway of obedience. The secret of success is submission to the scriptures. We must rush on. There's the precondition to blessing. We must be found faithful to His Word in 2019. There's the productivity for blessing. Verse 8 talks about all that thy hand settest unto. It speaks as well about the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee in verse 8. It speaks about service, but it speaks about a place of service. That place where the Lord has placed you, serve Him. Serving the Lord, it speaks of productivity. Verse 12 as well. Speaks about the work of thine hand. The psalmist in Psalm 90 speaks of the Lord establishing the work of our hands. And there needs to be work in God's work. There needs to be workers in God's work. God will never bless idleness. God will bless industry. God's work needs workers together to work and to labor for Him. It's the easiest thing in the world to shout from the sidelines and say, "Look what they're doing. Oh, I would do it this way, and I would do it that way, and yet you never do anything." It's the easiest thing in the world to be an armchair general and point out all the faults of people who are in the work. Folks, you can point out all my faults day after day. I know them all and more beside. But may God give me, God give us all, a heart to work in 2019. Will you give more time to the work of God in 2019? Will you lay other things aside in order to work for Him? God does not expect you to do what you cannot do. But God does expect you to do what you can do. Be assured that as you work for God in this year, God will bless you. Be assured as well that as you work for God this year, that the enemies will rise up against you as well. There's one sure way to know what you're doing right for the Lord when the devil's on your heels. Verse number 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. In other words, the Lord will send confusion into the rank of the enemies. when you stand for Him, when you work for Him. Oh, I'm fully aware and alert to the fact that just as the devil sought to hinder and halt the work in 2018 here in this house, he will do it again in 2019. But with renewed grit and grace, let's work in 2019. Let's come and join in the work. You remember how through our studies in Nehemiah encouraged the people to build the walls that were ruined and were derelict and were desolate. And we read of them there in Nehemiah 4 and the verse 6, so built we, all of the people, the entire people, so built we the wall. It speaks of unity and harmony, for the people had a mind to work. You think of the great example of the greatest worker, Christ Himself, when He said, I must work the works of Him that sent. How can God bless our work if we don't work for Him? How can God bless our work when there's nothing there to bless? Working for God doesn't mean sitting at home doing nothing. Nor does it mean being involved in everything else apart from the work of God. God blesses workers in His work doing His will. Will you set your hand to the work of God this year? Oh, the devil's henchmen are working and working hard. May the church of Jesus Christ arise and build in 2019. There's the precondition to blessing. There's the productivity for blessing. But I want you to see as well, there is the prosperity, finally, for blessing, from the blessing. The Lord shall command the blessing, verse 8, upon thee in thy storehouses, or in thy barns, and at all that thou settest thy hand unto. This is not the prosperity gospel that abounds today. Because the prosperity gospel is all about man. This is a gospel, this is prosperity that comes from the Lord. The Lord shall command the blessing. There's the reliability of this prosperity. It comes alone from the Lord. It comes as a command from the Lord. And the Lord will command the blessing. And the Lord will speak, and it shall be done. Oh, may the Lord command a blessing upon us in 2019 here in Sandown. Over in Psalm 133, we have another reference to the commanded blessing. Speaking about the unity and the harmony. Speaking about Mount Zion, I believe a reference to the church. It's in the unity and the harmony of the church of Jesus Christ that God will command the blessing. Look at verse 2. If nothing else thrills you today, I want you to take verse 2, and I want verse 2 to thrill you. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. My heart leapt when I read those little words, and overtake thee. All the blessings, that's the variety of them. But then, verse 2, there's the multiplicity of them. They shall overtake thee. In other words, God promises not just to bless us, but to bless us in such a superabundant way. Do you believe that today? Child of God today, do you believe that God's blessings can overtake us here in the work of God? Do you really believe it? Or has the devil nullified you into this sense, well, we just go through the motions and hope for the best? These blessings shall overtake thee. The overflowing, the superabundance of blessing It has this thought of even greater blessing than we were expecting or anticipating, that we would be swept away in the rivers of blessing. May the river of blessing sweep across East Belfast in 2019. Can God do it? Do the Church of Jesus Christ really believe that what God did in times gone by, God can still do in 2019? Can God still furnish a table in the wilderness? Thank God he can. Oh, for the floods, the hymn writer says, and a thirsty land. Oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless band ready to heal its arrival. And oh, for blessings that would overtake us and overwhelm us in 2019. The Lord says in Malachi chapter 3 and the verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Was that just a promise for Old Testament times? Was that just a promise for a certain dispensation? No, I don't believe it for a second. It's a promise right that's right up to date that we can claim right now. Last night as I was going through draft, whatever number, of this sermon, my mind was taken to those words in Ezekiel chapter 47. And the vision that Ezekiel has, it continues there in chapter 47. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, there is the vision of the river of water. I believe it applies to the spread of the gospel, the gospel blessings flowing. The talks about those waters being healing waters, I won't take time to turn to it. But read it for yourself when you go home. And those rivers of blessing flowing out. And there were going to be healing waters flowing out into the land. What does our land need today? It needs the blessing of the gospel today. It needs the power of God to run. It doesn't need politicians today. It needs the healing rivers of the gospel. What will unite and bring our country together again? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in verse 40, or chapter 47, we read how that little tributary of river flows, first of all, from under the altar. Wonderful lesson there. The altar speaking of the place of sacrifice. Speaking of the place of the blood shedding. Where does the river of blessing, gospel blessing, flow? It flows from the cross. Flows from the cross. You see, every other blessing is only superficial and is only temporal. That's why we need to maintain our work and witness and our preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. And when others have set aside the preaching of the cross, and when others have gone for a more popular approach in preaching, God keep us faithful to the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. That's what God will bless. But that river that flows from under the altar then flows out and then it starts to be measured. First it's to the ankles. Then they go a little further and measure it again. Then it's up to the loins, the waist, and then there's that lovely verse that the Lord burdened my heart last night with. There were waters to swim in. God, in 2019, give us those rivers to swim in that will overtake us and overwhelm us. Such was the outflow of blessing that had overtaken the people. They've been treading along that little river to their ankles, then to their knees, and then to their loins, and then all of a sudden it just swept them off their feet. And they swam along. It's a lot easier to swim in waters than it is to walk in water. Verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 28 speaks of expansion. Verse 9 speaks about establishment. May the Lord be pleased to establish His work. Verse 12 speaks about enrichment. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. Oh, what a promise. What a prospect today. That the Lord would open unto us His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season. As we face down the long months of 2019, do you believe today that God is able to command the blessing upon us? Do you believe that today that God is able to command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto? Do you believe that the Lord can open heaven to us and show us His good treasure? To see His blessing poured out upon us. To see His people revived, His work built up. There were times in 2018 when our faith was little and weak. We'll be honest. But thank God for His word today. And thank God that as we set out in 2018, we do so with excitement and enthusiasm of what God is going to do. I couldn't wait to preach this verse today. But I can't wait to see what God is going to do for us in 2019. Do you want the blessing of God? Do you really want it? Then we must be faithful to His word. We must heed His commandments. We need to humble ourselves, we need to confess our sin, put those things right in our life, and then plead and pray for that promised blessing. Folks, there's so much more. We'll leave it there. As we set out into 2019, will you take that little card that you've got, been given to you, with our motto text on it and the calendar on the reverse? And every day will you pray and plead and prove that promise every day. There are people in this congregation I know pleaded and proved that promise that the Lord gave us last year. And saw the Lord's hand through it. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee. In thy storehouses and all thou settest thy hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall open His good treasure upon thee. Thank God, with our faults and our failures, the Lord is still wanting and desiring to bless us. Will we rise to the challenge? Will we not be found wanting, but rather found working, looking, expecting, that every time we come to God's house, we wonder, what is God going to do today? That old hymn that was sung in revival times, what's the news? What's the news? I believe in a God of revival. I believe the Lord can and will and desires still to bless and to revive His people. Let's prove that. And let's see God at work in this year that lies ahead. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, know him not as your Savior. The greatest blessing in your life is the blessing of God's salvation. Come today and acknowledge him as your Savior. Come today and by faith receive him. Call upon him and experience the greatest blessing in your life. Child of God, may we see the Lord command the blessing upon us as a people and as a congregation. Let's bow and pray.